Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Matters of the Heart Wednesday, Public Life Entertainment Report. I promise you, I believe there's a Casper in here. It's like every morning as soon as time for my show to start, something happens. My power went out. I know. I mean, my goodness. That's a good topic we should talk about in the near future. Ghosts and paranormal activity. Do you believe in it or not? But today is Matters of the Heart and talking about subjects that are matters of the heart. And recently, a well-known actress, her statement that she made in promoting one of her books caused a lot of controversy because she stated that she is a submissive wife to her successful, within her successful marriage. And as I was on Spreecast yesterday, I was watching an interview of hers with another, a fellow Spreecaster. I didn't get a chance to watch all of it, but I had seen a full-fledged interview where she reiterated on what she meant, and she meant biblically. So I just thought it would be a good subject matter to talk about, because another friend of mine and I had recently had a conversation regarding that same subject matter, because she stated to me that that she was trying, had been praying and working on being, you know, preparing herself to be a submissive wife to her fiance, her soon-to-be husband. And so I know that that is a hot topic all the time, but when a celeb comes out and says, you know, and she's interdependent type of person anyway, but I haven't read her book yet, so I don't want to talk all about the book, but it was controversial. It was seen all over the media, The View, The Talk. All other media outlets have been talking about that subject matter. So I just wanted to talk about that and share some things that I have found regarding what it means, what it really means biblically. Some people look at it, you know, in the fetish community and S&M community, you know, when they hear people hear dominant, submissive, think that way, but her terms come from biblically speaking, you know, being a helpmeet to her husband. But again, thank you for tuning in. The State of the Union address was pretty awesome. I just re-listened to it from 4 to 6 this morning, on the Central Standard Time. So I just re-listened to it, and it was marvelous, really. And you can put so much in an hour, so he pretty much covered what we need to hear, right? I give him a thumbs up for the State of the Union address. It was pretty good to me. But thank you again for tuning in and for your love and your support. Go ahead.
please.
Don't. Come. To the conference.
Thank you.
Official. You can tweet MPG at MPG Official. Did you guys see MPG performing and rocking it with Prince's MPG band member, protege Liv Warfield, last night on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon? Congratulations to her also for awesome performance. She and the MPG Official. Very, very hot performance, soulful and fun, definitely funky. Nothing, the only thing you can expect from a Prince protege, right? Her backup singers for the band, of course, the really did their thing. Very awesome. So, of course, I couldn't go on without shouting them out. And, of course, shouting Prince and his current band, Third Eye Girl, also rocking it like it's nobody's business. We'll be seeing Prince on Sunday night in regard to his appearance on one of his favorite shows. I like that show also, New Girl, on Sunday night. And, man, we'll talk about this on Friday when we talk about weekend news and other hot topics. Her Prince is suing like 22 fans regarding posting concert footage on the internet. Must be some for-profit stuff, right? I know. You guys know how Prince is. Now, he doesn't mind posting certain like pictures and certain stuff, but, you know, you have to get the permission first, you know. I play Mr. Cycle as a intro song, and I always get the okay from Prince whenever I would like to do things. And he listened to the show, so he didn't tell me not to play it. So, but I need to let him know officially, hey, I've been playing your song as an intro song and pumping you up. But you know, you guys know better. I'm not making any money off of it, getting royalties or anything off of it, even though blogtalkradio.com warns us about, you know, saying certain music. I like to get the okay from artists, and artists know I'm telling the truth before I play anything of theirs, or make sure that it's music that I that it's okay for me to upload and play and promote, because, you know, it's a win-win situation, you know, to promote one another and all that. I'm going to go on and on and on, but we're talking about what does it truly mean to be a submissive wife, biblically speaking. But we have about 15 minutes before I go into that. I'm looking at an interesting article regarding how politicians dress. Very, 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 politicians are very fashion-oriented, aren't they? And so this is from, this is called Dressing Like a Politician, and the author is Dina Zaru, and it's from stateoftheunionblog.cnn.com. And Dina writes that when one thinks of politicians, one does not necessarily think fashion, but the politicians are always kicking it. Even the ones here in the state of Mississippi, in the city of Jackson, that I know, they're clean, men and women. When one thinks of politicians, one does not necessarily think fashion, largely because most politicians have a streamlined and often uniform look that is appropriate for Capitol Hill. But you know, you can always customize it. Women in blazers and pencil skirts and men in suits and ties, but people always tend to add their personal style, if it's their own style, or, you know, stylists. And stylists could be your favorite salesperson at the store or boutique that you shop in, right? However, if you take a closer look, not only will you find politicians who blend the rules, but you will also find that dressing like a politician requires a very disciplined, calculated, and detailed approach to fashion. After spending some time on the Hill, I have learned that the very specific fashion culture that is fostered by the country's top lawmakers. And Dina goes on to write that, number one, a bit of sparkle goes a long way. Important events this was written like yesterday, upcoming State of the Union address presents the president, the first lady, and the lawmakers with an opportunity to dress with a hint of glamour and a bit more fun. In 2013, the president stuck to a tradition of dark blue tie, while Vice President Joe Biden and Speaker of the House John Boehner decided to have more fun. Biden wore a bright purple tie, and Boehner wore an equally bright orange tie and blue shirt. Michelle Obama famously wore a glittering two-tone maroon dress by Jason Wu, who has been under the fashion spotlight since 2009, when the First Lady wore his iconic white one-shoulder chiffon gown at the presidential inaugural ball. In 2012, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton famously wore a thin black headband, a trend straight off the Hollywood red carpet, while Mrs. Obama turned heads in a sapphire Barbara to Spank dress, which she paired with an Alexis guitar brooch for a little bit of a sparkle. And then number two, no ponytails. If Hillary Clinton can't pull it off, then neither can you. The former Secretary of State got some flack for her ponytail phase and has since kept her hair down. Even Speaker John Boehner doesn't allow his staffers to wear their hair in a ponytail in his office. This does make it difficult when going through a bad hair day or a flat hair day. Some in Washington utilize fancy hats for an element of drama, like Representative Frederica Wilson, Democrat from Florida, who is known for a wacky variety of cowboy hats. While most women on the Hill keep their hair short, Representative Marsha Blackburn, Republican from Tennessee, has maintained a longer hairstyle over the years. Being one of the most fashionable women on the Hill, the Congresswoman has a great cut, which is key to keeping her hair down while maintaining a polished look. The Congresswoman's hairstyle is classic, modern and glamorous, and she reminds us that you don't have to chop off your locks to fit in on the Hill. And then there's three. Red is the new black. Yes, after all these years of rumors, it turns out that red really is the new black. Excuse me. A little cough, a little dry. I haven't had any coffee yet. I hadn't had any coffee. Had a little hot tea. And that was a couple hours ago. As a politician, a commanding color can get you noticed and get people to listen to you. However, in the conservative D.C. political arena, a red pantsuit or blazer is best paired with a conservative accent. A black Anouk camisole, pearls, classic stilettos, and black leather handbag. Essentially, there is nothing wrong with wild colors as long as the item itself isn't wild. A love for leopard print and red cannot be combined, thanks to House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi for this lesson. And then there's number four in politics. There's still room for hot pink. And they're showing a picture of Hillary in a hot pink jacket. As it turns out, you are never too grown up for hot pink. If Speaker Boehner and Hillary Clinton can wear hot pink, then so can you, in controlled doses, of course. You know, a splash here and there, you know. Hot pink also should ideally not be mixed with animal print. And then there's number five. There's always room for creativity, however small. While women can choose between skirts, pants, or dresses, men on the Hill are pretty much forced into the suit and the uniform. But, you know, this is me talking, you can really be creative when it comes to your ties and your socks. You know, your personal furnishing items, ties, socks, accessories, like your watches and cufflinks. You can really be creative when it comes to those items and make a fashion statement. You know, this is me talking. She also states in the article, but if there's one thing that I learned from Representative Earl Blumenauer, from a Democrat from Oregon, it's that incorporating your uniqueness into your wardrobe and utilizing that little room for creativity you have can go a long way. In contrast to almost every single American politician, Representative Blumenauer, I hope I pronounced his name right, substitutes the traditional flag pin with a bigger and brighter bicycle pin, expressing his love for biking. He also substitutes the trusty tie in double Winsor knot with a funky bow tie. And then there's number six, fool them. If it's on a blazer, it's okay. If you maintain an element of conservatism, then you can pretty much wear whatever you want. Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat from Connecticut, who is popularly hailed as the hipster on the Hill, is known for her funky glasses, edgy short haircut, patterned blazers, and a colorful scarf. It may seem that the Congresswoman is breaking all the rules, but she is sticking by one important one: always maintain an element of conservatism. She resorts to, you know, it's the corporate look, the politician look, but you can always add that splash of style, individual style. See, She resorts to colorful blazers, busy patterns, and even red streaks in her hair, but maintains an elemental conservatism. There's room for a flowery blazer or a colored striped scarf, but there isn't room for a short skirt, a t-shirt, or a pair of jeans on the heel. So you could, but you can always personalize your style, even maintain your conservatism. Number seven, if the suit fits, one thing the writer also learned is from the last election and vice presidential candidate, Representative Paul Ryan, is if the suit fits, wear it. If it doesn't, then don't. And that's for men and women. That's me adding something. Ryan, known for his athletic build and the many hours he spends at the gym, was criticized for wearing suits that are too big compared to Governor Mitt Romney, whose suits were perfectly tailored. It's all about tailoring here in Washington, D.C., and walking around the city, you would never stand short of finding one. Take some ill-fitting pants, blazers, and dresses to a D.C. tailor, and you could end up with a new wardrobe for a tiny fraction of the price it would have cost to buy a new wardrobe. Exactly. And I had just tweeted out a few hours ago how I am in need to rebuild my wardrobe ASAP. I am so happy, though, as my body transforms and I drop these pounds, still need to knock that 20 pounds, still don't, you know, 20 pounds taking its time, you know, like pounds, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, taking its time. I mainly dropped like, that's a long time needing to and working on it, you know, from the summertime. I had dropped nearly 60 pounds. I still need to drop this like 20, 25 pounds. And, you know, there's been a pound or two going. I had been on the scale recently, but I'm happy to know that I am still losing and transforming and not gaining by the way clothes fit and, you know, my appearance in the mirror. But I tweeted out earlier this morning that I'm very happy that there are some staple items in my closet that I'm glad that I can get into again, you know, some items, clothing items and shoes and all that. So very happy about that. I need to shout with Anthony, too, in the near future. Anthony Mark Hankins, that is. Tweet him at Anthony. But back to this article, investing in iron. But yeah, back to what I was, oh, I know what I was getting ready to say, tailoring. We talk about that when we talk about fashion and shopping and all of that. It is your own tailor. Tailoring is real important. Having a good seamstress, real important. How you can get your clothes fitted. You know, we talk about that in shopping. You can buy something if it's something that's a good deal, but it's ill fitted. You can just go to your tailor, your famous seamstress, and those of you that sew, and work that and tailor it to what your needs, and it looks perfect. But back to the article, number eight, invest in the iron. Even the most sophisticated top can look frumpy if it's wrinkled, and considering the high cost of dry cleaning, it might be best to invest in an iron. Speaker of the House, John Barner, one of D.C.'s sharpest dressers, ironed his own shirt last April in our State of the Union Getting to Know series exclusive with him. He told Candy how he keeps up his look. It's just me. I try to keep it simple, and I try to keep it neat and clean. I take great pride in the fact that I wash and iron my own shirts. The cleaners just ruined them, and about 15 years ago, I got tired of broken buttons and white shirts that were grayish, and so I tell you how to wash shirts well, and I can talk to you about the best iron in the world. I want it done right. It's a pain, but when I put my shirt on, I know it's done right. And then number nine, wear sunglasses year-round when you can and wear them inside. See? I wear my sunglasses at night. Nothing intimidates people more than not being able to detect your expression, and nothing has said expressions like a pair of glamorous sunglasses that add an air of mystery and star quality to your demeanor. And what's even more effective than wearing sunglasses, wearing them inside, as the song goes, wearing them at night. And no one has utilized the power of the sunglasses than the former Secretary of State, who sparked a wave of worldwide memes from simply texting while wearing her sunglasses inside. Even Senator Rad, and we're talking about Hillary, even Senator Rad Paul, Republican from Texas, knows he's not from Texas. His dad is in Texas. He's in Kentucky. Knows the value of a good pair of sunglasses, and can be spotted wearing them while on a coffee break on the steps of the Senate building or out in the sun on the Capitol Hill lawn. Number 10, wear your heart on your sleeve. Representative Alan Grayson, Democrat from Florida, wears his beliefs on his sleeve or his tie to be his ex. He is known for his funky ties, especially the bright colored peace sign tie that he wore while arguing against a war in Syria. For women, a creative outlet is jewelry. See, we're talking about personal items, personal furnishings. The author goes on to say that I collect earrings and necklaces from every country I visit, and they are always my go-to when trying to freshen up a business look. Time is running out, and so I will be talking about the topic on next Wednesday, concluding the program, because it's something to really talk about. Maybe I have time to have read the book also that sparked the interest of me bringing up this topic. What does it truly mean to be a submissive wife, biblically speaking, where the actress right. That's not what the book is about. It's about her success. We'll talk about that because there are some important points that I want to bring up and information that I want to share. But with the State of the Union just being last night, it was definitely had to touch base and talk about that.